Hello and welcome to the Where People Meet podcast, the event technology podcast for the worldwide meetings and events industry. I'm your host, Mitch Malinsky, head of sales and strategic partnerships here at Feedloop in beautiful Toronto, Canada. And today I'm joined by the one and only Connie K. Santos, founder and CEO of K7 Events and Services, a rapidly growing event production agency operating out of Richmond Hill, Canada. But that's not all. In addition to her role as an entrepreneur, Connie lends her expertise to Quest Audiovisual as their director of engagement strategies, and she's also a strategic partner for Engameo, an event gamification platform. You might have thought it ends there, but it doesn't. Connie also serves as the VP of Communications and Strategic Partnerships for the Toronto chapter of Meetings Professionals International. Now, as I'm sure you can tell, this is a conversation I've really been looking forward to for quite some time now. Connie and I actually first met in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic as companies were transitioning from in-person to virtual events. And at that point, Connie came off as a seasoned veteran in the meetings and events industry, but in reality, she was only entering her second year. Now, prior to taking that leap of faith and joining the event professionals community, Connie spent 14 years building an incredible career with the Hudson's Bay Company before finding her true calling, the wonderful world of events. Now, Connie is a true testament to the power of finding your calling and how to pivot and enact change in meaningful ways. I'm very excited to dive into her experiences, lessons learned, and anything else that she's willing to share with us in what's sure to be an eye-opening conversation. So Connie, to start, just want to say thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited about this. Where are you calling in from?
Mitch, I just want to start to say, wow, I'm blushing with this wonderful introduction. I'm like, whoa, this is sounding very impressive. I just want to first start to say I am human, and I'm so excited to be here, Mitch. So thank you so much. And I'm dialing in from my home right now, working from home with my wonderful plants in the background and Richmond Hill.
Wonderful. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. I know, as I mentioned earlier, this is just very casual, more of a conversation. So please feel comfortable. But to kick things off, can you start with telling the audience a bit about yourself and your background, how you joined the meetings and events industry? Anything else you feel would be relevant to spotlight?
Yeah, for sure. I'll start off to say that I'm a creative individual. I actually graduated from Ryerson University from fashion design. So if you can imagine my journey from being a fashion design student all the way to where I am today, it's very different. And I would say that when I actually joined Hudson's Bay Company, having 14 years with them, I started in their total brand management team with private brands. And being a very creative individual, I like to dream and like to make my dreams come to reality. And when I joined a company like Hudson's Bay, what I learned was it's a different type of creativity. But what I also learned as well is that there are ways to find your passion without losing everything that you love. And for me, there's a point within like 18 months after I've joined, I'm like, wait a minute. Private brands, product development, global sourcing. This is cool from a corporation perspective if you're trying to launch your own brands in the future. But I started learning that not exactly what I wanted. Raised my hand, and there was a wonderful opportunity to join their future executive training program. And at that point, there's two different streams. One was really about store operations. And the other option was more in office space where you could be a buyer, a planner, or a replenishment manager. I'm like, I don't love numbers. I can do numbers, but I don't love it. But I do love operations in terms of you being in the stores, motivating, leading teams, but also being able to talk to clients, understand what their needs are, and helping them kind of find outfits or solutions to their next event. So for me, store operations was a lot more fun. And I tap back into my experience when I was a student. I had part-time jobs working at Eaton Centre, Toronto Eaton Centre. And I really loved that connections that I had with clients and with customers. So I'm like, yep, store operations all the way. And I would say that was my first introduction really about the event space, especially from a consumer side, learning how to do events, how to do fashion shows, whether it's a fitting room party with the associates so they understood the brands, the product, how it fits. So when they're helping clients to do a wardrobe, they can give those really insightful information. Like, I tried this on myself. I'm a silver fox and this jacket looks amazing on me. When they're helping their clients, they're like, they have the confidence because they actually tried it on themselves, right? So I would say the introduction of the events in terms of the people connection and then that experience really started early on in my career with Hudson's Bay. And throughout those 14 years, it was many different positions and changes. I'm very thankful for that. But the last 4 years before I left, I was in charge of this national roadshow for the home department. And I was like, what is that? It was basically creating a prospectus for the key exclusive brands of what's important, what's happening right now in terms of the merchant strategy, how are we going to relay that back into the stores, and how do we get our associates excited about it? So instead of sending each vendor, each brand into like, you know, our 95 stores, it's like, okay, we need a big plan. We need to be able to go and have, we had about 36 brands at the end that traveled across country with me, four cities. And we really had a powwow, almost like a 3 or 4 day event experience of like, everybody's going to have time in front of the associates. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do all of these amazing things to make them feel valued. So from a value perspective, it was the brands feeling valued, that the associates had time to focus and listen to them versus sending them to the stores. And when they're in the stores, they're focused on the customers. And they're like, but I'm here. I want to train you so you can have time to focus on the customers and be confident. I'm like, but the customer's right here, right now. I need to, like, you know, put you aside and focused on helping. So I think creating those focused experiences where you're taking the associates away from the stores and having them very connected with the brands through those experiences was a wow. We launched that, I believe, in around 2014, our very first event, Crossroad Show, National Road Show. And from there, it was just the feedback that we got from the stores. And the head office was like, wow, this worked. This is so cool. And that's where I was able to continue at least 4 more years before I decided to take my leap of faith to say, what does Connie really want to do? And that's where I left my kind of accidental planner title to officially want to kind of pursue the career in the events industry.
That's incredible. So before we dive into what that transition looked like and the leap of faith itself, what appealed to you about the events industry? Why did you turn around and say, hey, this is what I want to do with my life?
I think for me, I'm like reflecting back on those experiences that I did do at Hudson's Bay. It was the final result. It was the aha moment. The doors are open. The attendees are coming and they're seeing the space transform just for them. So when their eyes lit up and they feel more confident and they're actually being able to see other colleagues from different stores, it was the human centric aha moment for people to connect. So I fell in love with that. And the fact that after the event, it wasn't just an event on its own, they were able to go back feelings like, wow, the company's invested in me. They've spent so much time to kind of build this experience. Now I have information that I can take back. I know the products, I know the brands, I know why we're doing it. I think building that confidence in that type of event experience gave me that, okay, there's something really powerful here. So instead of just staying behind, you know, in a corporate desk, doing 9 to 5, I think, and I knew I could do so much more. So I think my leap of faith is really following my passion to wanting more sparks, seeing more sparks for people at events.
I love that. So can you tell us what that transition was like? Like when you left Hudson's Bay, where did you go? How did you find that new opportunity? What did that whole process and journey look like for you?
I would say I feel like a lonely duck when I finally left. So I love Hudson's Bay. I had a family there. It was 14 years. Everyone knew each other and we all worked really well together. So when I finally raised my hand to say, Connie needs to leave. Connie needs to take control of my own time. Connie wants to take on new opportunities and new projects, that meant I needed to leave. So I think for me, when it was time to leave, I was leaving a family. So I definitely had a bit of a a roller coaster emotional moment to say, you have to take that leap of faith, because sometimes when you're comfortable in an environment and you're taking that leap of faith, not knowing what the future is going to be, but that you know you're following your passion, you have to trust yourself. So number one was the trust. And the second part, I think, for me in that transition is I did not have, during my 14 years at Hudson's Bay, the title of events or event planner. I was, you know, the industry would call me an accidental planner. All I knew and all the connections I had were more of the suppliers that I worked with from an AV perspective or the venues that hosted me. So my first tackle was like, okay, I'm coming out. I want to do the events industry. How do I get people to know me? And it, again, it's kind of tapping into those relationships I already had with suppliers to say, hey, Sanjeev, I'm doing this. I need your help. What's your guidance? Where do you think I should start? And the best advice I got from him is like, Connie, join an association, check out PCMA, check out NPI. These are associations of people that are like you, that love people, that love events. And if you tap into that network, you're going to be able to build your foundation of other people that will, A, know who you are, what your purpose is, and how they can potentially bring you into a project or recommend you for other opportunities. So that's what I did. I joined NPI in 2019 officially, after I was wowed and blown away at the WEC event as a hosted buyer. And then from there also, it's not just joining, it's really being an active member, because you can pay $400 to have a membership and say, I'm a member of MPI, pay $500 for PCMA and say, I'm a member of PCMA, take advantage of their professional development sessions, learn in terms of the industry lingos and the acronyms that you should know. But I think more importantly, it was like, how do I get more of this? How do I work with people so they can see my experience? So the other advice that I got from Sanjeev as well was like, Connie, you need to volunteer, because when you volunteer, you get to be actually work on projects and you get to showcase your experience. I'm like, okay, what do I volunteer for? Like, there's so many different committees. There's like events committee, there's a marketing committee, this and that. So the other advice that I got was join something or volunteer for something that you're not comfortable with yet. When you do that, A, you learn, you push your envelopes a little bit more, and that you're able to actually tap into other committee members that may actually be more of an expert within that committee, and you learn with them. So when I volunteered into marketing. I had experience from a marketing and branding for events within a corporate world, but there's a whole new team that actually does the execution. So for me to volunteer to say, okay, I'm raising my hands. How do I do marketing? How do I do social? I don't know how to do this. So getting your hands really immersed into the mechanics of how things work, I think that was like, wow. Like for me right now, like if I reflect back on 2019 and today, I'm like, I can do social, I can do content, I know how to make things. So I have to say thank you to MPI for those experiences and taking that advice from Sanjeev to say, try things that are different, that is outside of your comfort zone so you can grow.
Yeah. And those are two incredible pieces of advice for anyone trying to enter the events industry and make a career. Like, first off, join the community, whether it's MPI, whether it's CSAE, whether it's a number of other different industry groups. But the beautiful part about the events industry is that it's a massive community and people just want to help out and give back to each other. So if you are able to get a good foothold in one of those groups, then you're surrounding yourself with a really positive network and a group of people who are going to go out of their way to help advance you and help put you forward. So that's some fantastic advice. And I've been following along with your career over the past few years. One of the items that has really stood out to me, Connie, is how important your personal brand has become to your career and who you are in the events industry. So can you get us caught up on how you went about building your own personal brand and what your recommendations are to other event professionals looking to embark on a similar journey?
For sure. If I can, I'll share a little story. So right after I left Hudson's Bay, I was invited to an industry event. And when I was invited to this event, that was at the same time just launched K7. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with K7. This is my business. This is my brand that I want to go with. And nobody knows it yet because I literally just made up the name and I registered for it. But when I attended that event, instead of them putting in Connie K. Santos from K7, it was Connie K. Santos, formerly HBC. I'm like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that was the aha moment that I really need to hone in on what does Connie K. Santos stand for today and go forward. So for me, it was, okay, I'm going to introduce myself as Connie K. first. I'm a human. I'm a person. My personal brand is everything and anything that I do, regardless of the company that I work with or my clients that I work with. And then K7 would be my business brand. So I think in any, my recommendations from a personal branding perspective is when you introduce yourself, introduce your name first, because people will connect with you. And more importantly, I think we have to remember that the things that we do, whether we are with a company or that we are a freelancer or a contractor or that we have our own, is that whatever your reputation is with the relationships that you build, people remember how you made them feel.
Right.
And people also remember how you qualified and how professional you are and how you conducted yourself. So your personal branding, regardless of the titles that you have or the companies that you represent, it represents you in terms of your credibility and the quality of your work. I think if we remember that, then we will also remember that, hey, I might be in sales one day and I'm talking to someone, I'm trying to sell them something, but how I reached out to that individual, how patient or impatient I was, that person will remember what was my approach. Were they really just focused on pushing me to buy something that really had no value? Or were they patient to understand, A, they built a relationship with me first to know me as a human. And then they evaluated whether the product that they had that they were representing will actually give them value at this time. If it doesn't and she didn't push me, then, hey, I like Connie as a human. She's cool. And by the way, she does this now. I don't need it yet, but I'll keep her in mind. So I think it's really about how do we make the right human connections first before we even push the product and the brands that we have. And I'm going to throw in LinkedIn for a second. I think LinkedIn in the past 2 years has been the most powerful professional networking platform to be had. And I love Leanne. I'm going to throw Leanne's name out here. She's the LinkedIn lady. And the one thing that she really taught was, like, you know, there's one post that she shared. She's like, I just got slapped on LinkedIn. I'm like, what do you mean slapped? I'm like, people are still like hardcore sales pitching right on LinkedIn. And yes, that was a platform for that. But today it's not. Today it's showcasing that you are a professional, that you have quality projects that you've worked on, that you have a voice as a thought leader. And when you make a connection with individuals, it's not like, hey, Connie, I sell this and that. You want to connect? Want to have a meeting with me and do a demo? I'm like, how do you even know I need your product? You haven't even understood what I represent or what I do or this and that yet. So I would highly recommend in any personal branding, it's make a human connection first before we pitch the products and services that we represent now or in the future.
Yeah, these are all some really good takeaways. And people in the audience who are wondering, who is Leanne? We're talking about Leanne Calderwood. She was actually a guest on this podcast, so go a little further back. She spoke exactly about what we were discussing now, personal branding, how to leverage LinkedIn as a really powerful tool for that. So if anyone is interested in exploring that further, definitely go back, take a look at Leanne and my conversations. There were a lot of really good points in there. But yeah, Connie, you bring some really insightful points up, namely the fact that this is more of a long-term approach. Companies are temporary, but you really want to foster and build a personal brand around who you are as a person. And instead of just throwing your product, your company, your services in other people's faces, take the time to build that relationship. And if you do a good job of putting yourself out there, if you do a good job of connecting with people, helping them out in the industry, then when it's your turn and you need some help, you're going to have a lot more people who are actually going to be willing to help you out and point you in the right direction. So love that. But you mentioned your latest project, K7. Can you tell us a bit about what the whole entrepreneurial journey has been like for you so far? We've actually had quite a few entrepreneurs on the podcast, and I love dipping into their background, learning about how they got the idea for starting their company, what the process was like, some notable successes, failures. So anything in there that you want to talk on, can you tell us a bit about K7?
Absolutely. So for K7, that just what it really represents is K is my family name. Seven, I'm the seventh child in my family, so I have a pretty big family. And for me, it was like my personal, it's a business, right? Like, how do I, from a business perspective, represent myself? Or represent the opportunities I can take. So when I launched it in 2019, that was like, hey, I'm available for special project. I'm available to be, you know, jumping into anything that's happening right now. So it was just my first step of saying, I have a business. I can be a freelancer. I can be a contractor. Whatever you need, please just take it on. And I think with COVID, when that happened in 2020 and my business was so new with K7, it was difficult to continue that because I think everyone was starting from ground zero. Ground zero in the sense of, hey, live events is not possible right now. But how do you kind of look forward and help people make those connections that could be connections virtually? So, and I think that's where there's a big boom in event tech. And that's where we met Mitch a little bit more formally as well to figure out, like, how do we partner? How do we figure out how do we help people do virtual events in a very cool way, not just in Zoom? So for me in 2020, I had a pause. I'm like, wait a minute. I just started in this new journey. I'm like kind of still figuring out my network, my footprint. And unfortunately, it was also a pause on K7. And I I was really excited to join Nextech in 2020 when there was an opportunity to join immersive new technologies that had the ability to bring people together. So that was exciting for me to say, I'm not stuck. I don't have to wait for the venues to open or the, you know, social distancing to stop because there was a lot of like on and off. It was just a roller coaster. So for me, joining Nextech and bringing on some other event professionals to come along this ride with me was like, hey, look at this. It's a platform. There's different variations. Like there's self-serve, there's fully custom, and there's a hybrid version of it. There's AR, holograms, all of this fun stuff. Why not try something different? So I think it's taking that courage to be innovative and different. And at that time, when I joined Nextech, K7 stopped or paused. It didn't stop completely. It paused so I can really focus and really learn what technology was all about and how we can really enhance it in the events industry. That was a year of progress, lots of interesting roller coasters within that world as well. And then in between that pause, I did take on a special project under K7 because clients still came to me and say, Connie, I had this idea. What do you think now that you have this technology experience? Can you help me? Did that. And then I met Dimash and actually met Dimash in 2020 before I joined Nextech in our VEMM course, where we're all upskilling ourselves and our understanding of how to do virtual events. And we reconnected and he just launched Ingamio and Ingamio was like, this is so much fun. And I'm very much of a highly emotional individual and I can bawl by just watching a movie. And my husband's like, here's a box of tissues. You might cry. So I'm very sensitive in the type of jobs that I take. So I love Ingamio because it was lighthearted. It was always playful and fun and I can find joy in it.
Can we do a little plug here? Because Dimash is awesome. For people who don't know what Ingamio is, can you just give them in a nutshell what Ingamio is and who it's for?
Yes. So Ingamio is a gamification platform. It's a software that you can use for in-person, virtual or hybrid experiences. And we have a lot. I think the biggest difference is sometimes when you say gamification, people think, oh, it's a game. How do you add games and make it meaningful? Mm-hmm. What I would say is Ingamio is a meaningful gamification solution that add and really be purposeful on how you engage individuals, whether it's a networking map or a picture puzzle where it's a picture about Mitch from Feeloop and say, like, hey, what's Mitch's favorite meal of the day? So very fun, strategic ways to kind of plug in a moment of pause in a different speed and tone from your event, because sometimes the event can be very heavy on content that's too serious and then you want to lighten it up a little bit. You can add Ingamio to that. And you can add it in between all of the event experiences and sessions if you like as well. So Engamio is awesome. I love them. I'm still a strategic partner with them as well, and supporting clients and partners that we've signed on when I was there. But yeah, so Engamio is awesome. Gamification platform available and can be used for in-person, virtual, and hybrid experiences. So thank you for that plug.
Of course. But yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. We were just going over the creation of K7. You took a brief hiatus, joined Nextech, had a few other projects on the go. But at this point, it seems you're doing K7 full time. So when did that start?
That was in August. I would say in August, with Engamio, we had a bit of a conversation, and with tech startups and especially with live events happening right now, unfortunately, our projection was not where we needed to be. So we had to be strategic. So I took a step down from my position as head of strategic partnership at Engamio and became just, you know what? I love Dimash. I love Engamio. I still want to support it and endorse it. So I became just a strategic partner so I can maintain those relationships and continue what we already have. But what that allowed me to do was really to say, what does Connie really want? What does Connie have so far? And I reflect back on K7. And K7 is actually, I have another mentor. I have many mentors in the industry that helps kind of plant seeds in my head that, Connie, you have a voice in this industry. You've established a very thoughtful way of running your business, your personal branding. Why are you jumping into another opportunity to kind of like lose yourself again? So I'm like grateful for that reminder. So thank you, my M&M. And I think for that moment to say, okay, my position with Engamio is changing. My compensation and my salary and my income is going to be very different after that certain period. So I had to kind of refigure, like, what am I going to do? So I'm like, okay, I love special projects. I want more of those. So I'm going to start focusing on K7 and let people know that I'm available again. And then as soon as I actually whispered to someone that I was available at CME, they're like, Connie, can we chat? And this was literally a couple hours later, I whispered to him. And he whispered, and it's transparent where I am now, but he whispered to Al, and Al and I, we had a conversation, and within weeks to say, okay, Connie, we want you, we need you. I'm like, okay, this is really cool, but this is so fast. And I would have to say I was really nervous about what he wanted me to do. And we had a lot of conversations like, what's your gaps? What's your need? How can I help? And the intention at that time was for me to kind of join him full time. As under just the umbrella of Quest Audio Visual, I'm like, okay, I'm not comfortable with that because I do have a voice and I don't want to lose that. And it will be complicated if I take this one full time and not be able to focus on this. Like, Connie, no, we love your voice. We love K7. So keep that going. I'm like, really? So I was so grateful for that because I think often as event professionals, we do have our own voice. But when we join companies, we feel obligated to not share our voice anymore. So for me, my advice for individuals that are potentially in my same kind of like fence in that time, it's like have those conversations with your future employer or your future partner. When they understand what you want and what your potentials are, they are more potentially willing to support you than to be surprised to say, oh, we just hired you full time to be this, but now you're doing this, this, and this. I'm like, what the heck? But I'm like, no, okay, before I accept this, can we just kind of talk about the terms and conditions and how we're going to work? And that if you see this, then it's transparent that Connie is still out here doing this as well. So I was able to have those very transparent conversations. And because we were able to have that, I have his full support. And I think Al is amazing for being very understanding of the potential of not just myself, I think, and his other team members that I've been able to interview throughout the last couple months there. They all love the environment that we're in, that we're all empowered to do what we love, but we're also empowered to do what we're expected to do in terms of our job that we're hired for, right? So there's that responsibility and accountability as well as when you join something, when you accept a project, understand your deliverables. And I think when we can be trusting of our deliverables and we actually deliver, then there is no question of being micromanaged to say, you need to be here at 9 to 5, you need to do this and that. I'm like, dude, I don't work this way. I cannot work this way because if you need me to write content and do PR and marketing, I'm a creative owl that needs to do it at nighttime. So right. Your 9-to-5 for me will not allow me to be creative. But if you give me my 9-to-5 to flex to do what I need to do from a K7 perspective, but be able to be available for any questions or meetings that you might need me to be part of with the team, I can do that. But everything else in between, it's my time to manage as long as I deliver what I deliver. And so far, it's been almost 2.5 months. It's been fantastic. The team, I love them. They're amazing. Al, I love in terms of his leadership. And he's supporting me. He's saying, Connie, there's a business potential. Do you want to take this under K7? I'm like, you're referring clients to me? I'm like, that's amazing.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Really, really speaks to the power of your network and just word of mouth and building a recognizable, strong personal brand that you're passionate about and you're proud of. So that's fantastic. Like, do you ever have any of these projects conflicting with one another? Because I swear you've got 5 different things on the go right now. Like, that's a lot to handle.
Here's the one commitment that I have with Al as well, to say, I promise that if there's a project that comes to play and there's a potential conflict, I will be very mindful in how I accept them if I accept them. So I think we have to be very cautious if we do want to play multiple roles or have multiple hats, to say, I'm a CEO of my own company. I can literally accept any projects, but I also have my responsibilities with my title at Quest that I need to protect that as well. So I would say I have not been in conflict yet with any potential projects. But if there was anything that was in conflict, I would say, hey, Al, I need to chat with you. This is coming. Will you be okay if I do some socials on this because I got invited to do this really cool activation? Oh, that's cool, Connie, go for it. I'm like, thank you. So I think, again, it goes back to that transparency and trust, right? So I know where our industries are and who our potential competitors are. And at the same time, it's like, before I say yes to anybody, it's understand the scope and then have those potential conflicts. Hey, there's this project. I want you to know that this is coming. I think it's cool and I want to participate, but I need you to be okay with that. Are you okay? So having that, those conversations as well, I think will help give you more open doors in the future.
Yes, absolutely. And setting those expectations ahead of time, it seems that you and Al and the rest of the team have all done a very good job of that. So Connie, this has been a really exciting conversation. We are around the 30-minute mark. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but to wrap things up, I'd love to see what you say to this. And that is, to the event professionals out there who are looking to unlock the true potential of their careers, what do you want to tell them? Like, what are the tips and tricks that you've learned along the way? I know you've had a lot of ups and downs. It's been a roller coaster ride for you. But from your incredibly fast-paced transition to the wonderful world of events, what are the lessons learned and what would you say to other fellow event professionals who are really looking to take their career to the next level?
Great question. I don't think I have enough time to share all of my awesome insights I think I have, but I'll share 2 tips. Number one is know your passion, because the events industry is not an easy career to have. You have to be super dedicated. And if you're passionate about it, it won't feel like it's a job. So know your passion in terms of what you're going for. The second one I would have is really just around the circle of trust. Build your network with people that you trust that can support you. Because when you have that, regardless of the roller coasters of if you're in your highs, they will celebrate with you. But if you're in your valleys and in your lows, they will uplift you and help you. So definitely make sure the people that you continue to network and build, you know, relationships with, make those meaningful. Because in the long run, whether it's you helping them first or them helping you first, and then you're asking, you know, that exchange in terms of the connections and that collaboration and support, it will be there in the long run. So build your circle of trust.
Love those. Well, Connie, I just want to say again, thank you so much for your time today. It has been a real pleasure having you on the podcast. I know we've wanted to do this for quite some time, so I'm thrilled that we've finally been able to make this happen. And for me, it's just been really exciting to watch your career trajectory over the past few years. It seems you're incredibly passionate about what you do, and that shows in the work, the projects, and the personal brand that you put out there. So I'm very happy for you and this career, this life that you've built for yourself. And I can't wait to see what's next in this chapter. But I have a funny feeling that some of our listeners will want to reach out either to learn more about you or discuss potential projects. So if people do want to get a hold of you, what is the best way and medium for them to do so?
I'm very active on LinkedIn, so yep. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. You'll get up to date on what I'm doing. And if any of those projects sparks and you're interested, feel free to comment, connect with me, and we can start the conversation there.
Incredible. And any final words?
Final words is I just want to say thank you, Mitch. I think it's been amazing to have this conversation with you, and I know it's been a long time in the making. So thank you for this opportunity. And final words for the events industry and the professionals listening, it's follow your dreams. There's a lot of activities happening right now. So don't forget to also have a time to balance and take a deep breath as well, because there could be yes. so much going on. We forget to take a little pause. So don't forget to breathe.
That's very important. Fantastic. And no better way to wrap this up. So to the listeners, thank you very much. That wraps up our Where People Meet podcast episode on unlocking the true potential of your career as an event professional with the wonderful Connie K. Santos. Thanks for your time today, and we'll see you next time on the Where People Meet podcast. Bye.